From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased and honored to have Jane Lee,
God's
Hands Ministry. Jane, good morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us, as always.
Always great to be here.
So much going on and difficult times here in the church.
But
we will soldier on. You know, when I run into people and talk to people, and there are as many opinions out there as there are people.
Mm-hmm.
There just are. But the one thing that I keep telling people, and we've heard it even from the pulpit, people say, I know people are saying, why should I go to church? What's going on? I don't know which way to turn. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, you know, is it time in, if you look in the history of our church, the times of greatest stress are when the greatest saints, in many cases,
good point,
emerged, you know. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to, and I discuss it, and even in our family, you know, you just discuss it. This is the church that Christ founded.
Yes.
I can't let go of that. It'd be one thing if that were just a belief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I think Jesus founded this church, or no. It's a historical fact.
True.
You trace it right back.
Yes,
there have been many
true.
Conversions based on that. Where
uh-huh.
frequently, where I talk to somebody who was very religious, say, or even a minister, a pastor,
mm-hmm.
you know, in another faith, and I'll say, "Well, what brought you to the church?" Well, you know, they did that dangerous thing. They started delving into history. They got
uh-huh.
interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really fascinating stuff. I want to go back a century. I'm going to go back a couple centuries, and lo and behold. Who'd they find? They found Peter.
You know, they found Jesus.
They found Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And they're going, wow, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church. That's where it started. Now, why doesn't mean the church is faultless, can make no mistakes, but why would Jesus found a church that then fails? I mean, it just dissolves
right.
and disappears into the ozone and,
that's true.
And nobody ever heard of it again.
Right.
That didn't make any sense. That would make sense if Jesus was not divine.
Right.
It would make sense. Like, mm-hmm. well, the guy had a lot going for him, and he had a lot of followers, and then the thing blew up, and it kind of faded away. And there's
uh-huh.
many of those in history.
Yes.
And nobody even knows the names of some of those movements
mm-hmm.
anymore. But this one is stuck around for 2,000 years.
And we're
told that it will always be with us. So
mm-hmm.
that's for me, as much as I'm as distressed as everybody, and I've got my opinions like everybody, and like I say, there are many opinions, but it's we're all family, and
mm-hmm.
this is Jesus' church. There's no denying it. And yeah, there's some major problems right now.
And what you just said, that what you just did, is you found something to hold on to.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, because there is so much that will distract, distress, break. But all you need is a reason to stay.
Yeah. And if I were in with that, and I won't even say, you know, part of, with all due respect to, you know, I'm a big ecumenical guy, a big interreligious
mm-hmm.
guy, you know, and really, I love it when I hear somebody who's very religious, even if it isn't my faith, and really follows a code and,
uh-huh.
and really believes in God and et cetera. But if I just belong to some church or just some
mm-hmm.
gathering or something,
mm-hmm.
maybe not even a religious group, but another group.
Okay.
And they had these kinds of problems,
mm-hmm.
you'd probably say, this isn't for me.
Right.
This.
Because there wasn't anything beyond it. There
yeah,
wasn't anything
the,
beyond
but,
what you could see.
You keep coming back to this is Jesus' church.
Right.
And I can guarantee you this, Jesus hasn't left the church.
Oh, wow. That's such a beautiful observation.
So if he hasn't left, I'm not leaving.
And see, all you need is a reason to stay.
If he says, Bob, I'm leaving.
Right.
I'm going over here.
That's true.
Okay, well, yeah. then we got a different discussion going on.
That's very true.
Jesus is not leaving this church.
And that's all we need is something to hold on to. Yeah. That's it. And is there not perfection in the apostles that he chose?
Right.
That they were imperfect. They denied him. They
denied him? They were hiding out, man. I never heard of the guy.
That's right.
And at the most critical, crucial time, you're getting ready to crucify him.
Right.
I don't know him. I don't know who he is.
Right.
Three times in, what, a day?
Yes, yes, yes. Right? And then at the cross, there's one out of 12.
Yeah.
Right? One out of 12. Wow. That's pretty low percent. It's like 8% of who were with you a week later.
Climbed under their bed and are hiding.
Right. So he knew the perfection in them and the ability to rise up, and also that they would suffer what he did. So they would, in their lifetime, would not see this blossoming massive church that is now across the world, but he knew the seed that would plant it.
It's impossible for them to imagine,
mm-hmm.
Unless God gave them the vision of it. Imagine that, and when they're told to go spread the gospel, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, I got a donkey.
Right.
you know, that's about all I got. I can spread it from here. I can go 20 miles, or maybe I can get on a boat.
And that's what they did, right? They walked away.
Look at all the travels of St. Paul, you know.
Right.
And yet now, oh my goodness, we could just type a few words and send it off to Vietnam or
it'd be much
China
easier. Actually, it's an interesting point. It'd be much easier to start a church of this size now than it was then. They were on foot with whatever resources they could carry, and met in any town by whatever, and then it blossomed from there. So he started from 12, what we have now. So yes, there is all of this pain and that's been caused, and so much reparation and so much healing has to happen. And yet still we can continue. We can move on and keep this going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a purifying time. There will be nobody lukewarm. I don't think that you can't go through this and be lukewarm.
That's a very good point.
You have to pay. You have to become more involved, and you have to find a reason. And then what you just said, a couple of different vantage points, that you have to find a reason to stay. And that's all you need in your human mind. And like you said, Jesus hasn't left the church, and that's enough reason in and of itself.
Yeah.
But we as humans, we do need that something right in front of us, something that's tangible, something that, okay, I have to put my mind somewhere. And there's a saying I ran into, a bumper sticker I saw many long time ago. There may be 1,000 reasons not to, but all you need is one reason to do it.
Well, yeah, my biggest fear is people becoming, that terrible word, lukewarm. Like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of lost, almost like someone who involuntarily gets divorced.
Yeah.
And they're just lost.
And
I had this great love, and it's not present anymore. And I don't have a place to talk. It's not like, okay, I'm gonna go to this church now because this church has got what I want or what I need. Or, you know, you hear that a lot. Oh, I go to there because I like the music, or I go here because it fulfills me, you know, without regard to is it truth or is it not truth. It kind of feels good and it's okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an alternative, especially for a faithful Catholic who is now disillusioned or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a place to turn. You could go to other services somewhere on Sunday morning and have a religious experience.
Oh, it's one of the apostles said, where would we go? When Jesus said, are you going to leave too?
Yeah, where would we go?
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, it's right on the money. Isn't it interesting was that last week or the week before?
Yes, very recently.
Within the last, probably since you were on the air previously, it's happened. Mm-hmm. Where would we go? And Jesus says, are you going to leave too? And well, where would we go, Master? Where would we go?
And so what they did was turn back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do is, yes, it is all of this in front of us. Go back to the roots. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Eucharist. And look beyond the humanist. Yes, it's there. Yes, it's happened. And if you go anywhere else,
and if you believe in the Eucharist, I mean, where are you going to go?
Right. Nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else will. And it's a hard time. And I would say that when you mentioned the people lukewarm that are kind of in a daze, like from a divorce that's happened out of their control, this has happened out of our control, clearly. And we all are in a daze and spinning. Where do we go? How do we look? Where do we look? And so on. And the Lord knows that we're going through that. He's right there with us. And he's given it everything you just said. He's given us the Eucharist. He's given us the Word. We have to. And through that, I would say that anyone that speaks up in any kind of form, even if it's around the water cooler, we have an infinite responsibility for the weight of our words. And if our words pull somebody away or push them closer, we are so responsible for what we do. Yeah. And part of the work of God's heart and hands is the influence of mothers, is that mothers are God's heart and hands. And there's God uses so many avenues on earth, but motherhood is the only thing that society is detracting from, saying, no, it can be replaced by a good daycare and some extracurricular activities. And we're reducing it to a commodity when that's right. very much not the case. So being an engineer, being in the professional world and working in a male-dominated environment. And so then we're women coming in and watching this whole transition and understanding, I thought my work was big then until I had a child. And then I realized the ripple forward.
Right.
My name is still on some government piece of paper, you know, from working on the stealth bomber, but my name walks through the hall with my kids. Mm-hmm. You can see me in them. I'm not responsible for everything they do. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not responsible for what the choices he's making, right? But but I have influenced them. And so that coming around, mothers have, we have an influence in our families, and especially right now, and is how we're going to influence our children. They're watching us. And if they're not older to where they know what's going on and they're looking to us, they're younger and they will revisit it later as the memory. How did mom and dad handle this? Well, going back, oh my gosh, I was 8 when that was going on. Now I'm putting pieces together.
And yeah, it's a real overworked phrase, but if there was ever a teachable moment in the lives of our kids, it's right now. It's right now. I mean, this is something that I know in your family, in my family, in most families, this is a very important part of their lives. And my wife and I try to emphasize, this isn't just a part of your lives. This isn't like, okay, I go to school on these days. I have my part-time job. I do babysitting. I have my friends. I go to Mass on Sunday morning. It's not just one little drawer in your life. It should weave throughout your
life. It's the fabric of your life.
It's the fabric of your life. It influences everything you do, and it's ultimately the whole ball game.
And it should be in your behavior, your decisions.
Absolutely. And so this is the ultimate teachable moment, you know, and the notion that wow, that you could go somewhere else for all. We've had many discussions in our family, and you know that you say, yeah, this just kind of came out of nowhere, and who knows? Like, was there something we could have done? It seems like it.
Right.
It's almost you feel a little bit like the kid that finds out his parents are getting divorced and going,
right.
What did I do?
Right. What did I miss? What could I have done?
What could I have done? Is it about me? Is it something I did wrong? And it's really not about assigning blame or guilt, but it's like, was there something we as the laity could have done to prevent this?
Mm-hmm.
And is there something we as the laity now can do to put it back together?
And I think that's a different dynamic that's going on.
Yeah, it is a different dynamic.
We are trying to. And I think there's a vernacular that's coming in that we really need to shift is everybody's talking about the church. The church, the Catholic Church is fill in the blank. That is actually wrong. Some of the people in the church are.
Right.
Not the church.
Right.
Some of the people are. Yes, it's long term. Yes, it's a lot of numbers. Yes, the ripple effect is huge. But it's some of the people in the church.
Yeah. Did Jesus let us down or fail us? No.
No.
Did Mary? Did Joseph? Did the saints? Did God, the Father, did the Holy Spirit? No. None of them let us down. We didn't just learn that, oh, well, Jesus, we just found out about him.
Mm-hmm.
No. Whatever you believed about them before has not changed.
That's true.
And that's true. The basis of our church.
It is. And that, and that, going back to the lukewarm portion is, and when we talk to our kids, when we're with them, because we're interpreting for them either currently, or they're going to look back, like I said, and put the pieces together and draw on our experience, how we dealt with this now.
I guess they're, you know, it's sort of like if people look at a church as a pecking order, you've mm-hmm. got here and here and here and here, and then at the very top you have the Pope.
Right.
But in fact, all of those people are human beings.
Yes.
All of them are capable of sin, mm-hmm. as all of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are any holier than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
Or less holy than anybody else. So it shouldn't, it seems like this one has blown up more than any other one.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got sort of sensitized to, well, this priest or this person mm-hmm. in the church did something wrong. But now when it's higher ups who may have covered up yes. or something, it's like, oh, well, that can't be.
That's rocking us.
And yes. it, of course it can be. I mean, again, no matter where they are in the church hierarchy,
right.
they're all human beings. They yes. all are capable of sinning. Making mistakes, or
right.
however you want to characterize it,
yeah,
and so as it doesn't affect, as I just said, Jesus hasn't failed us.
No, that's
and Jesus
true.
Jesus hasn't left the church,
and that's something that's going on in this time, and we've been through this before, but this time it's different. Is that it's going up further up the hierarchy, and
yeah,
with social media, the
yeah.
information is being dispersed, and we have access to past information, even articles that were written and published on the Catholic News Agency website. It's going back to June. You can go back
right.
just a few months and see this progression.
Right.
And so this is different, is that we have more information, access to other information, and we can communicate much faster. So this
yeah.
is actually the I won't say dissatisfaction, but the pain is reaching much deeper within us.
And going back to, say, Dallas, the world is much more divided now than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
People have just, whether it was on political stuff or church stuff, anything, it's like there are camps and there are,
yeah.
you know, there are labels. This camp is this and this camp is that. And
that's
and,
true.
You know, and it's just, there's like, it's, and out in society, it's becoming more divided.
That's true.
And people who never liked the church in the first place, this is, and who believe the church is strictly a human institution.
Okay.
Then when the hierarchy become implicated,
mm-hmm.
they go, aha. It's like any corporation.
Right.
If
that's our response.
If it's a low level first,
right.
just got hired employee and did something wrong, they go, well, the employee, they got to get rid of him.
Right.
But if it's the CEO, they're going, whoa, there's something matter with this corporation.
That's true. And we have been rattled pretty much when you go back to like Watergate. That was a major
right.
rupture with what we thought of our government and how we
right.
perceived it. The Ford Pinto, what we thought corporations would do or not do to protect human lives, that was
right.
was shattered. And so moving forward, we do expect more out of our church, and especially out of our churches, but especially out of the Catholic Church.
Right.
It is the cream of the crop. You know, because we do have Jesus, we do have that direct experience. So I think that is part of why we are so rattled so deep collectively. But we have to remember that the church is a vehicle that Jesus created to bring us to him. It is not him. It is not God. It is our bridge, if you will. But the bridge is still there. We can still, like you said, Jesus has not left the church.
Well, I was reading a really, really interesting piece saying, you know, going back to the cross. Going back to the I guess, most important thing that happened in
mm-hmm.
in the history of our church, you know, the
crucifixion
and then the resurrection,
uh-huh.
and et cetera. Bad words of the use of the word et cetera, Bob, but in everything that followed.
Right.
And at the foot of the cross, like you said, one apostle, everybody else hiding.
Right.
Everybody else meaning not very many, but hiding.
Yes.
And no cathedrals, no really vestments even.
Yes.
No, well, there probably was a chalice of some sort at the Last Supper, but uh-huh. none of the sort of exterior trappings of our church.
Okay. External expressions,
all of,
too.
Yeah, all of which are wonderful, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, it's a sacred place, you know. It's a
right.
sacred space.
Yes,
and
very much.
I'm happy that it's beautiful, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that it's, you have a feeling when you walk in it, you know. But none of that was present when the church was starting. And so all those buildings could fall down and the faith doesn't go away.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And I think we as parents are really called upon, we can't be lukewarm, actually. We have to actually be talking about it like you're doing with your family. And the role of God's Heart and Hands is to remind mothers, you have a place at the table. Do not let society distract you into the thinking that anything else is more important than your influence in your family as a mother. It is a job. It will match any job.
Yeah, and anger is a poor motivator, because anger generally makes you want a pound of flesh or retribution or to do something rash, do uh-huh. something definitive. That's what anger does to you, you mm-hmm. know? And it's... we don't need to count to 10. Maybe we need to count to 1,000. But it's, you know, it's like, okay, don't do something stupid here. Don't do something rash. Don't mm-hmm. do something irrational. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. All the things you can think of. And yet I hear people doing it. I hear people saying, I'm walking away. I
understand that. They're looking for some place that's not compromised. Because in these recent times, like we were talking about, corporate-wise and in our morals and our values with moral relativism and so on, everything is shifting and is compromised. We're looking for a piece of ice to stand on that's not going to be broken apart.
Right.
You're absolutely right. It is like that. And we have to understand that. But underneath that ice is this infinite ocean that is God. The ice is is part of it. It is what we stand on. But really what's holding us up is the water, is the laws of physics that buoy that piece of ice.
Yeah.
And so we have to have the bigger picture. We have to look long term. And there is a shift in that. We always have looked to our church with its hierarchy and its wisdom and faith to lead us. And now we're seeing that it's very human. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. Let's look beyond it. Let's look beyond it. And like you said, Jesus has not left it. So whatever reason you can hold on to, Mom, to bring to your family, that's crucial, because you are, it's all hands on deck. And it is like nothing we've ever seen before.
You're right. It's all it is like nothing we've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and it's also morphing into, it's gone way beyond the abuse to people airing whatever grievances they've ever had
mm-hmm.
about the church. I never liked this.
Right.
Or I don't understand confession. Or I, you know,
uh-huh.
it's just like you're going after everything.
And you know? I wonder if they're doing that also because they didn't have a place to put that pain.
Yeah.
Is they didn't, and there wasn't a vehicle for it. Because we are established. We're not like a brand new school that's opening up and we're ever trying to figure it all out. We are established. And so that there isn't a place to put that. But I will say that I've read of counselors, marriage counselors, saying if they come in angry, the couple, doesn't matter what the issues, they can be worked with.
Yeah.
It's when one is ambivalent or just totally apathetic, they can't do anything.
Yeah, because they don't care anymore.
Right, And they're not interested in a resolution.
They're not passionate about it.
Right. Yeah. So let's be okay with their anger. Let's allow that to happen. Because like you just said, people, they're holding, I didn't like that. I don't, my confession and all these different things, why they do what they do. Great. You're talking.
Yeah.
We can now work with that and move forward. And it is a scary time. It truly is that way with the anger.
And unfortunately, lost in a lot of this is the victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know many, many of our leaders, and I know Bishop Soto has said several times recently, let's keep our eyes on the victims.
Yes.
Let's keep our focus on the victims. And Archbishop Sample up in Portland had a very similar statement that let's keep our eyes on the victims. Let's, you know, it's almost like I said, it's time for everybody to air every grievance they ever had about
That's
the church.
True.
And is the church going to survive and is it not going to survive? And what am I going to do? And what's my neighbor going to do?
Right.
And wait a minute. What about all these people who, I mean, if anybody had a reason to leave the church, it's these people.
Interesting.
They got a heck of a lot more grievance than I've got.
Yeah, very much so.
You know,
that's true.
And so many people are talking about whether or not they're going to go to Mass on Sunday or whether or not they're going to leave the church or stay in the church and all these things.
Right.
There must be a lot of victims out there going, wait a minute, I just got lost in the shuffle here.
That's really true. And are we?
You guys have forgotten. You guys have forgotten what this all started with,
right.
Which is me getting victimized.
That's true. And
you know,
possibly are the rest of us that are having our feelings, are we maybe just being a tad selfish, making it about us when
about
it's not
us.
About us?
Yeah, it's about those victims.
Right, and what we can do to help them.
And you can, you know, there's a lot on the for those of us in our listening audience, you know, in the Diocese of Sacramento website,
mm-hmm.
and Novena that's coming up and is ongoing right now. And just all focused on the victims,
and that's really the most important part,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that is really where our focus should be. How do we reach out? How do
because it's not going to go away very fast, everybody. State after state after state now, attorney generals are announcing we're going to investigate the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, New York, New Jersey, Nebraska, there were five mm-hmm. or six announced, I mean, subpoenaed all records from every diocese in that state,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's going to hit all 50 states. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a long, painful process.
You're right. It's not going away soon. But it's interesting. If it were a natural disaster like Hurricane Katrina, we know what to do for the victims, right?
Right.
Large and small. I remember a story of a man renting a truck, loading up water and food from his neighborhood and driving across country, right? So there's something we can do to help the victims. And that's a really good point, is how helpless we feel, the rest of us, that have been hurt by it or affected by it, like we're affected by people we didn't even know that picked the natural disaster. Katrina was only one of many that we've gone through. We could figure out what to do, and I wonder if that's part of where our helplessness and our anger is coming from, as we don't know what to do.
A lot of it is. I mean, I'm talking about victims almost in a vacuum. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know them. Trying to actually reach them would be almost impossible. I know when popes visit, sometimes you'll see that they
mm-hmm.
I know John Paul did it, Benedict did it, Francis has done it. When they come to the United States, they met. They
mm-hmm.
try to keep it quiet, but they almost want the world to know that, you know, like here you are, you're here canonizing Father Sarah.
Right.
And he didn't even meet with victims. Well, yeah, he did, but he didn't want to make a big deal about it.
Yes.
You know, and the same thing with Benedict. Benedict tried to keep it quiet when he met with victims, but it leaks out. And in many ways, it's a good thing that it did, because otherwise then it will...
Where have they been?
Where have they been?
Yes.
How come they didn't meet with victims when they came to the United States? Well,
that's
they did.
True.
You know, they just didn't want to pat themselves on the back for doing so.
Interesting. Yes, no good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly.
And on that, I think it's because there's a lot of concern right now on what Pope Francis is doing, and people are trying to find a place to put their pain, and they're looking to him and others in the top hierarchy of the church for guidance, and we're working through it. I think they're working through it, excuse me. But the piece of having to trusting him, but also he has, when he's met with the victims, what I found most interesting, when they've gone to the Vatican and they've gotten an audience with him, he closes the door and it's only him with them. And he spends hours with them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a script. There was no picture. There was nothing. Where basically he shut out the world and it became person to person.
Yeah.
And that we have to remember that. And it is, we do not in this generation, we are very much like type A personalities. We don't know how to trust, and especially in this situation.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at what he's doing and what he's saying, and we can't connect to it. But like you said, this isn't going to go away soon. Can we, and especially with our children and our families and how we're affecting the next generation of the faithful by what we do right now,
absolutely.
Can we just hold on to the Lord, the Eucharist, the what our church really is, not the people in it, and let time go by and let them work, figure it out. And they're going to work it out. and focus on the victims and healing ourselves within our family? Can we have to choose where we're going to, you know, that part of the video game that we're going to go after. There's a lot of targets. It's very target-rich field right now. But we have to be very cautious and aware of what targets we pick, because we're not just picking them for ourselves. We're picking them for our children. And we have to, like, think ahead, which is hard to do when we're angry, like you said, and how it just has to have a place to put it. But are we going to take faith and a connection to God away from our children?
Yeah, I know.
And that's what we're coming to.
It's an old cliche, but I come from, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists. You get stuck in an elevator, you've got two choices. You can get on the next elevator and push the button again, or you can never ride an elevator again in your life.
True.
You know?
Yes.
Because unless you get over it quickly,
yes,
you're not going to get over it.
That's really true. That's really true.
And so you can say, okay, I got stuck in that elevator, that Catholic elevator. I'm getting off. Mm-hmm. I'm never looking back. Then where are you going to go?
Yes, where are you going to go? What are you going to do?
Elevator's heading to heaven, you know.
And, yes,
you know, it's the way. It's the way, the truth.
And
the
maybe
way.
We're being called upon those in our church that have been through this before, that went through the previous crisis when it happened, and we had to weather that storm, and we came out of it, didn't we? And God was still there, and we still had our faith, and we found a way to navigate it. Maybe we're being called on to help those that are really struggling right now that didn't go through that.
It's one of the reasons this one is so devastating, and everybody's, you know, this is worse than Boston. This is worse than, you know, mm-hmm. is because we thought we had solved it.
We did.
We thought we had solved it.
But this isn't. These are old cases.
16 years ago.
That's true. But these are our cases from before that.
No, and yes.
I don't know if that's
yes
helpful.
And no, and it seems like they're old cases, but we hadn't involved the hierarchy at that point. And that's where
true.
This one has really blown up, is, you know, the covering up. And mm-hmm. that the Pennsylvania report saying that this was almost a matter of church policy was to cover it up. You know, mm-hmm. and that's where this one has really distinguished itself from the other. And secondly, and we have to be careful, because for all intents and purposes, the number of reports are way down.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the reports that are coming out now, like you say, are from the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't know for sure about our current stuff until... 2040.
Good point.
I mean, especially when you're dealing with young kids. The one that came out just recently that really kind of kicked it all off
uh-huh.
was from some man who was in his 60s yeah. who was talking about when he was a teenager.
Wow.
You know, and they found it credible, and then they found, you know, yes. and then it blew up from there. But so if it took him 50 years... If there's,
oh, you know, I see what you're saying. Yes,
you know,
there's. It's,
so,
yes.
So, I mean, there's no question. We have things in place now that weren't in place before, and
true.
They certainly seem to be working. But in many cases, people don't scream right away.
Yes, that's true. There is a latent response to
yeah.
it, and we
so,
since this is the Pennsylvania report
so
has come
it would
out.
I think it would be wrong for us to sort of say, okay, we solved it with this stuff.
Good point.
The best we can say is. It appears that we have certainly, mm-hmm. we haven't solved it, but we've lessened it.
Mm-hmm.
But we better be very vigilant, because we don't know for sure that there are people just that are going to come forward.
That's a really good point. And more victims later. Have come forward since the Pennsylvania report, right? Several hundred.
Well, they say some of the hotlines are just overwhelmed.
Right. So with that, we as parents are being called on. We have as if we didn't have a big enough job at all before with what's going on in society. But especially now when dealing with this, we honestly don't really know how to deal with it, how to put this in perspective. But it's important that we even recognize that.
It's completely new to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was baptized the day I was born.
Uh-huh.
And they asked me if, and I said, sure. Sounds good to me.
Right.
And... truly on the gurney.
Yeah. Wow.
But never faced this.
Mm-mm.
Had normal questions, had normal doubts, had normal all this stuff through childhood, and mm-hmm. never had a falling away. You know, you hear a lot of that, right. you know, and sometimes it makes a better story. I fell away, and then I struck by lightning, and, you know. But that wasn't my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I never faced this, where you're just like, wow. It's like hearing something bad about your own mother.
That's true. And it really is.
I mean, it's just, it's that devastating.
It's truly that, like the soldier with a bomb went off and you didn't even know the bomb could be there.
It's more the knife through the heart than anger.
Yes.
There's some anger comes up every now and then. It's more like, wow.
That's a really good observation, because that is invasive, that got way past your boundaries, and that hit at the very center, and what that does is kill.
Yeah.
And that one image that you just described really does encapsulate what people are feeling. Then we have to, how do we process that? How do we integrate? And once we integrate this and time goes by, there is some healing. But how do we in the meantime, right now, deal with something that has hit us in the heart? And that's the most crucial organ in the body, pretty much. You can't go much longer. Anything Nope. else, you can kind of got some time. But that's a really good analogy. And how do we? And the biggest thing that I draw on is I faced this in my own parish growing up with our priest, in that he... did not actually want to be a priest. His mother pushed him into doing it, and he always wanted to be married. So he unfortunately had affairs in every parish he went to. It was always with adults and so on, but it was quite an issue. And that hit me to the heart and had that same experience. But being a young adult when it came out, I had to go through the same process.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it came down to, and I think we need to do the same thing now, is I had to look past the man on the altar to look, what am I there for? Really, what is there? Because when we look at it, it doesn't matter which priest is up there, which bishop or so on is saying the mass. It's always the same. It's Jesus. And so that was a really difficult process, but I had to sift through the chaos, sift through the carnage, honestly, because then when the story started coming out, this had gone on from every parish he'd been in, and they kept him. And it's in the past, but it did affect me, mm-hmm. and I've affected my children that way, in that we stick with the church, because the church is God. Because anytime you pick an organization, you pick an effort, you pick a committee at your kid's school where you're trying to do the yearly fundraiser. Anytime people show up, it gets muddled. There's infighting. There's power structures. Yeah. I mean, power struggles.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, that old saying about a camel is a horse designed by committee. Okay, when I recognize the imperfection of humanity's presence in anything, it can be mixed, but it is a mixed experience. I had to look beyond the altar. I had to look beyond the iceberg. What's really there? And I really had to go so far as to, you know, in questioning humanity and trying to put this all together. Under that iceberg is the ocean. Under that is the earth. And one thing atheists cannot answer is, why is our solar system at the altitude in the cosmos that it is? They've got all the rules of physics about how mm-hmm. every planet is in perfect balance with the gravitational field and all this with each other. But why is it at the altitude, so to speak, that it is, and not 100 feet higher in the cosmos?
Right.
That's the boundary of our knowledge. We can't even begin. That's where, if you have to go to that logical place, that is where you will find God. If you can't find it everywhere else, you've gone beyond the existence.
It's funny that, you know, my kids and I would talk about evolution. And the church doesn't have a problem with evolution, et cetera. But every time we talk, I say, you know, logically, when you look at all the billions of species, I mean, I just read, I think it was in Bolivia, a team of scientists got together for the last 3 years and went off into remote areas to try to map the diversity, and it was an area known for high diversity to begin with, and yet they came out with like 300 species that they didn't even know existed.
They're still finding new species.
How can that be? there are species we don't even know exist that are current. They always make discoveries from the past. Oh, here's a new dinosaur we didn't know about. You know,
right?
And here's a new animal we're not quite sure where it is in the chain and et cetera. But these are currently alive species.
Yes,
that we didn't even know about. You know, and you go. I go, logically, it would make a lot more sense to me scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
Just boom, creation. You know, it makes more sense.
Right. I understand. I hear what you're saying.
Everything evolved from whatever this goo and it ended up with all these different. It's like, wow, really?
So you see God in everything. Yeah, you see God absolutely. Everywhere, and you bring that to your children, and you're navigating with them, leading the way, so to speak. You're on, you know, all hands on deck, and it's storming outside. You've got your rain gear, and it's storming, and it's night, and there's 40-foot waves, but you see, actually, you can't see the lighthouse, but you know the lighthouse is there, and you are leading them by everything you're talking about and how you are, and that's where we as parents and God's heart and hands, we actually have to step back and go, I am God's heart and hands with my children, with my neighbors, with people I work with, church community, and so on. Everyone is, but I can only be responsible for myself, and I'm going to take this up as whatever he wants me to do, which takes us back to the Eucharist and prayer and what he gave us.
Yeah, I mean, God, as you point out, God gave you those specific children. He didn't just give you children. He gave you those specific children with all their talents, all their needs, all their deficiencies isn't the right word, but struggles.
Humanness.
Yeah, you know. Their personalities, all of that, God gave that to you. And to the kids, he gave you these parents with all their same
right.
stuff, too. And you're all in it together, and you better help each other.
Yes, yes, very much. And it's being a parent is society has been distracting us, splitting it off, telling us other things that we need
to
be.
I didn't even say it to the kids, you know. God gave you, to my son, he gave my two sons, four sisters, okay? The littlest one, three of them are older, well, four of
yes,
your sisters
that's true.
Are older than you are, okay? You're the runt. And, you know, but he gave you these specific sisters.
These people.
And they gave the sisters these specific brothers. Bookends, so we have a boy on each end and four girls in the middle. You know, and they do get along great, but you have to understand you're all different, but God wanted it this way,
right?
So it wasn't just chance. Oh, there's a baby, and okay, I guess it's a boy. You know, no,
right.
No, God had that figured out ahead of time,
and that's so beautiful listening to how you are. What you are giving them for what they're going to carry forward. You are defining what is around them now, and you're actually creating a paradigm, a structure that they will move forward with, that we are all together. We are tied together. We will figure this out together, and God brought us together for a reason. So you're acknowledging what's right now, and you're showing them how they're going to move forward. And the biggest scripture that was most meaningful to me in helping me through all of this, because all of us are spinning and we're running into it everywhere. It's like we can't get any rest. You know, it's from people we talk to social media and everything else, was in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And I think that speaks so well to what we're going through. We thought he was asleep, or the apostles, excuse me, thought he was asleep in the boat with this huge storm. They felt threatened, like they might die. And so they turned to him in panic, and they didn't turn to him till they were in panic, and they went to that. And that perfect verse, O you of little faith. And as soon as he rebuked the winds, so to speak, and he calmed everything, that's what he brought them to. And so I see the connection to now. We are in a storm. We're looking to each other, right? We're not looking to the Lord for guidance. We're looking to each other. Our tensions rise because none of us has the answer for each other.
Right.
But yet we turn to the Lord, and he rebukes the waves, but he also kind of rebukes them. Why do you have little faith? Well, maybe that's what we're doing right now, is we're having little faith. And God did not want any of this to happen. And I think that we kind of have to consciously remind ourselves. But he's there for us to heal, to move beyond.
Yep.
And we are mistaken, and that's a shock of right now, is there is nothing that's going to be, that we can always depend on to be perfect human. There is, it's like we're expecting God to be in the world. Like, show me some place that is predictable, that and that this has not happened in the Boy Scouts and other churches.
Show me a human being who's perfect.
Right. Show me an organization that my kids will always be safe, that I don't have to think about. I'm sorry, I can't. It can't even happen in your own family. We have to be aware. Human beings are human beings.
Yeah.
I don't know
the exact numbers, but as I was going to say, the vast majority of child abuse occurs within families.
Right.
Not necessarily the immediate family. Sometimes a close relative, or
right, someone that's known.
Yeah.
Yes,
someone,
and it is
someone that's known,
and it happens anywhere. It's happened with coaches.
And there's obviously a tremendous amount of covering up frequently.
Yes.
And a tremendous amount of not believing the victim.
Right.
Not that every victim or alleged victim is always, you know, that people can't make things up. Yeah, that does happen. But for the most part, it happens in families. It happens in this wonderful structure.
And I think that's why the victims are often not believed. We don't want to have our structure, our family unit.
Exactly.
And it is hard, man. And you're right. Going back to the victims, bringing it back all to the victims. It is a very messy and very painful.
And I guess the biggest problem is it's you know, a grizzly bear is dangerous. He just looks dangerous. You know. And so somebody says a grizzly bear was chasing me, you believe him.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's Uncle Fred,
right?
Oh, he's the nicest guy in the world,
right? How do we can't compute that, and we say, do I have to be afraid of everyone? No, but we have to pay attention. This is not to dilute the response to the church of what's going on, and it's not to set aside but it's to look at the biggest picture, and it is really uncomfortable. It truly is. But we have to remember that every tapestry has every color in it, black included.
Yeah.
And it has the texture and all of that. And whatever it is that gets us to go back to God. And I remember when Bishop Francis Quinn was the head of the parish, the diocese, and going through this. And I'll never forget this, something that was quoted. He said that before he was going out to meet with the media, because it had come up, is he prayed to do the Lord's will. Give me the words, Lord. I am your hearts and hands. He didn't use those words, but basically it really is it. Show me how to walk among this doing your will.
Right.
And it's so easy, and we just think it's so great when we see Mother Teresa on the streets with it. Wow, we can really get that. But really that's what we're being called to do now. We have to walk among that and do that. And as God's heart and hands, we parents, we are that. We were like Mother Teresa doing that with all of that calamity, if you will, around her, how she just kept God in the moment, and how
absolutely.
She did small acts with great love. And that's what we're calling to do, going back to the victims particularly and praying for them.
Jane, it is 9/11. And
wow. Great prayers for those victims as well.
Yeah. And it's just, I still remember when Pope Benedict, different groups of victims, obviously, than what we've been talking about, but Pope Benedict came to Ground Zero, and I happened to be one of the pool reporters who was covering it on the radio. And so we were down in the pit. It was just a pit. And there were 24 family members of victims who were kind of in a semicircle around the Pope waiting. And he came out, and there was a little kneeler and a candle and a pool of water sort of. And he prayed for a while. And then one by one, these people came up to talk. This is Pope Benedict, to talk to him, and they were selected. I don't know how they were selected. They weren't necessarily Catholic by any stretch of the imagination. There were, I'm sure there was were some Catholics in there, but that wasn't the criteria. But they were family members of some someone who had died in 9/11, and first responders and just people that were working there and things. And he would listen. He did very little talking. He would listen. Some of them went on for 5 minutes, some of them for 20 seconds.
Wow.
And then the next one would come. And I, it was just so profound. And you saw what a holy man he was and how sensitive he was, that it wasn't about him.
Right.
It was about them.
Right.
And I hold on to that now when we're talking about a different set of victims.
A different explosion, if you will.
It's not about us. It's about them. And that's something we have to always
And what he did, small act with great love. Exactly. And that's how we heal.
Exactly. Jane, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They're at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, Marriage and Family Therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I